You don't have to work and slave. Let electricity do it for you. You can have
the fuck. Nothing's on.
The opinions expressed on the Brennan Lowe Show do not represent the values of Bristol Broadcasting Company. WBS Charleston, West Virginia, a Bristol Broadcasting Company station.
Right, let's turn it up. Let's get weird, buddy. Let's get weird.
Mike Patton.
Sock. Well, he's 15. He's a good player.
The officials were struggling mightily. I mean, they can't count to three.
I've been following Cam Newton ever since he played for the Ohio State Buckeyes, my number one college football team.
We got our kicked today.
No basket! No basket! No basket! Hoyas win! Hoyas win! Hoyas win!
You got Jared Porter in the middle of the field talking everybody. Then when somebody say something to him, he don't even supposed to be on the field.
Are you ready?
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the biggest show in sports.
This is at Fart Talk Radio.
It's time for the best damn sports talk show in the state. Here's your host, Brandon Lowe.
Welcome in, Brandon Lowe's show at 95, the Sports Fox. You're out of work, Charleston. It's time to talk some sports. Excited to be here with you today. Radio station, we think, is all the way back up. I know last night we had some technical difficulties with the show, radio station. Went off the air after the storm on Friday. We've already had some people kind of, message me on the Brandon Lowe Show page on Facebook asking, did we switch formats because we were playing soft jazz at one point. But that's just filler music for the satellite because we can't get the satellite feed in for the syndication.
That came straight off your iPod. Don't
yeah, I was just sitting there with that voice is Ryan Prith, Gazette Mel. He's going to be joining us here as co-host on today's show, Thursday edition. You're not on your normal Whiskey Wednesday show, Ryan.
I thought about that, but it is Thursday, so yes. It's pretty close.
Well, it's been a while since we've had Ryan in, and you have been completely busy with some spring sports and now summer, because softball, once that kicks in, you disappear, man.
Yeah, like, I'm a ghost.
Yeah, and for good reason, because you're covering things for the Gazette, and that's just that's your beat there, prep sports. And you love it, though. You love local softball. You talk about how good the Kanawha Valley is, which is some of the best softball in the state, if not the best, right, in the state. So we'll talk plenty about that in the second segment. Get to kind of a recap for those that didn't follow up. It's kind of old news for probably most that follow it, but I kind of wanted to get some of your take on maybe some big plays and maybe some historic moments. I know there was a moment there in Class A, right? You said Sherman won Class?
Yeah, Sherman's first ever state title in any sport came this year, and it was quite a sight to behold if you were there. So
that's awesome, man. Anytime a school, any program, especially a local school here, that's able to win their first ever, and not just their first ever in that sport. Like you said, the important part is their first ever in any sport, right?
Yes, yeah.
That's huge. Yeah. And we had that in the in basketball too, right? At the state tournament, we had a program,
Webster County,
win their first ever of any sport. So that's just really cool. That's special for the school. It's special for the fans, especially a small community. It's really cool because usually most of those people have lived there most of their lives, and they've gone to school there, or they've gone to a school, unless it's consolidated or there's a different school, depending on whatever area. But just really cool that fans and you guys in the media got a chance to witness that, which is really cool.
Yeah, and it's kind of like we joke around, those girls and those boys on Webster County will never pay for a beer in those counties again. And it's, we joke about that, but that's kind of, people bring up the Catholic school versus public school thing, and I don't buy too much into all that, but that is probably the one difference, is the community pride and the way, if you were over at the Civic Center when Webster County won that boys' title, it was the loudest I've ever heard it, ever. And that includes concerts. I mean, they busloaded six buses worth of people out of Webster County to the Civic Center. I mean, it means a lot to those people, and it's really cool to see when you're there.
In other words, the whole town was there,
The whole county.
The whole county, I mean. Yeah. So there you go. That's Ryan Pritt. He'll co-host the show. Of course, you can call or text the show 304-405-6301 or 344-9704. If you ever miss a show live, always encourage you guys to subscribe and get over and listen to iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Usually it's interviews. I kind of mix it up. Every once in a while, there's full episodes. This will be a full episode, so I'll put this entire episode up. If you ever miss it live, you can just go over there and listen to it wherever you go, Ryan, which is pretty cool with technology these days.
I'm still pretty disappointed that the folks listening miss out on my hair today. It's pretty solid.
Yeah. You were asking about the video. We have since a couple of people asked me about the Facebook Live which we may bring it back in studio during the fall. But we're kind of working on some things at the house. I was telling you about with doing some things.
Yeah.
With the green screen at the house and the office, which makes Kristen really excited about setting that up.
Right? Sarcasm there.
Yeah, she's very excited about it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And keeping the kids quiet on set, so to speak, is very tough as well. Because we try to. I did a couple baseball, pre-games and previews for the baseball squad. We were just talking about that, by the way, before we went on the air, Ryan. True Mountaineer fashion, losing to a walk-off grand slam.
I mean,
that was the second grand slam, by the way, of the game.
Yeah,
by Texas A&M, which
not only a grand slam, but a two-out, two-strike grand slam.
Yes,
it's the perfect ending. Really.
3-2 pitch, two outs, bases loaded. We talked to Chris Hall about it on the show. It's what you dream of as a kid, right? When you're up there and you go, all right, this is it. He throws that slider, and it's just out of there.
It's just when a W program could find a little bit more heartbreaking way to bow out.
Well, we're going to get to some cool news, though, out of the program there in our breaking news, some historic numbers as far as the draft's concerned. Of course,
sure.
Baseball is interesting because, you know, in basketball, you have the combine you can go to. You can get some advice or some pointers from scouts, and you can come back and play some basketball if you didn't sign with anybody or accept any money, I should say. They've been kind of tweaking those rules a little bit as we go along. But baseball sort of kind of the same way in the sense that, you know, they draft, you put your name there, and they can draft you, and it could be the 17th round. It can be the first round, like Alec Manoa. Congratulations again to him, to the Blue Jays. But that gives you kind of a sense and kind of a marker where they see you at the next level, and you're able to come back and try to improve on your stock. It kind of gives you, Ryan, a kind of a sense of where you're at.
Yeah, and you've seen that many times throughout, well, in baseball history of guys getting drafted somewhere and then never playing for that team and getting redrafted and then being, turning out to be a stud. And if you're a fan of Team A, that's always heartbreaking. And trust me, in terms of baseball fandom, I've dealt with as much heartbreak as anybody. But, yeah, you're right. And it was a big day and a big couple of days for WU, and I think that's what we all kind of expected too, so.
Waiting on, also, Maisie's kind of busy right now. We're probably going to bring Maisie back on the show here soon, kind of a wrap it up on the season, and then kind of leave him alone so he can do his own thing and get ready for the next year. Because, you know, because coaches, there's no offseason. There's no offseason for these players. They're going to come back either because they're going to hit somebody's summer leagues, and they're going to be playing, you know, year-round to get ready for the next year. So some pretty cool stuff there. Let's go ahead, though, and get over to our breaking news.
It's time for breaking news and sports, but it's still sports and news.
From the Brandon Lowe Show newsroom, I'm Brandon Lowe, and here is the news and sports. That's still sports and news.
All right, news and sports. Sports is still news. Ryan, we were talking about this before we went on the air, these transfer portal situation, college football. I like it because it gives power to the students, the student athlete and the player, because coaches have plenty of power. But it seems like more and more players are putting themselves in a transfer portal, and a lot of people are kind of stirring around that this could potentially be, I don't want to say it because I don't believe it, but a lot of people think it's ruining college football.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but it definitely is something that comes up a lot more than it used to, and as you've got there in your hands, we're going to find out how it affects our local schools as it has pretty thoroughly here in the last week.
Those guys we've mentioned yesterday, Kenny Robinson, Derek Pitts, South Charleston's own Derek Pitts, now deciding to hit the transfer portal. The Brown kid, which I think is E.J. Brown, hadn't played any games. He's just a young cat looking, I guess, for, I don't know what was going on with him. But Marcus Sims was the first big name to come out and say he was going to enter the transfer portal. Now, there's a lot of things stirring around in Morgantown in terms of Derek Pitts. I believe even SAZ or somebody was reporting that because of something, a gun incident or something at another sporting event that he was at, that he got caught with a gun. And then I don't know if there was some conversations among coaching staff that, hey, you're going to probably have to, you know, earn your way back in, even though you've played multiple games and you are Derek Pitts. And then Kenny Robinson, who, you know, entered the transfer portal, shocked a lot of people almost as much as these other guys I just mentioned, because Kenny Robinson's coming off, you know, the All Big 12 team. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a guy that had a lot of high stock and high hopes this next year coming up. That, I mean, he's a kid freshman year that made some big time plays,
yep,
and some big time games, and had a lot of NFL scouts even early looking at him and saying, this is a guy that could play on Sundays, and now here he is. And he could still go on and go somewhere else, but there's some rumors kind of swirling around. I know they said that it was something to do with student misconduct, but a lot of people were stirring around about academic fraud possibility, where mm-hmm. somebody was doing classes and classwork for him. That could have been also it, Ryan.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about this before I came on, but anytime you've got a new coach and a new coaching staff, you're going to expect some of this. And you know, how much of this is Neil Brown just trying to, you know, kind of put his own stamp and own, you know, identity on this program? And I think some of this was to be expected. Now, obviously, a couple of those names, especially Robinson and Pitts, I think that surprises mm-hmm. a lot of us, including me. But it's some of it's to be expected. And, you know, I'm still hanging in there. I still want to see what he does with this program. I think there's good things ahead. And I think if you look at that team from a neutral point of view, it's hard to expect a whole lot from them next year anyway with what they lost. And this way you're going to get some younger, more inexperienced kids on the field, and I think it could end up being a blessing in disguise by the time we're done in 4 years.
Yeah, I saw an interesting article, and it was an interesting perspective. I think it was Mountaineer Sports, and they said they kind of compared it to Huggins and the things that he dealt with Harris and Ahmad. And they said, well, what if they got rid of those guys before the season started? Would there have been less drama on the team? I don't think success would have been necessarily a lot higher because you had a very young team and you lost guys like Javon Carter and Daxter Miles. Mostly JC was a huge part of that team.
Yeah, yeah.
But losing a guy like that, you know, you have a lot of young cats trying to get their first big-time D1 experience in a very challenging conference that's been number one RPI when they were still, you know, counting RPI for what, 5-6 years straight. So yeah, when you're competing with a, you know, a conference like Kansas in there, you know, it's going to be tough for a young team. So I don't know if that necessarily, but getting that cancer, so to speak, off your team definitely helps out. And they could have potentially maybe been on the bubble at least and played, you know, a little better as far as paying attention to Huggins and not really paying attention to some of the distractions there that I think contributed to some of those things. But I think Neil Brown, as a guy so far that what I'm hearing, is just a no-nonsense type of guy. Can he have fun? Yeah, we've seen him dab in the Troy video, mm-hmm. right? He can have fun, but he has fun when it's time to have fun. It's kind of like what your parents used to tell you, right? There's a time to have fun, and there's a time to be business, you know, be professional. And, you know, that's, I think that's what Neil Brown is. And Dana Holgorsen, what I heard, was a lot more loose with his players. They kind of, I wouldn't say he let him get away with everything, but it was just, it was a little more like show up to practice, sure, let's win some football games. And Holgorsen was more of kind of the rock star type of mentality than Brown's more of, hey, I want to come in here and this is business and I want to make sure we're successful.
Yeah, and it's kind of fitting you brought up Huggins too, because last year wasn't the first time he did this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. If you remember, was it Aaron Harris?
Yep.
Was a big time scorer for us, and he moved him off the team and everyone was kind of up in arms, and then the next season it ended up being, you know, a really good year for WU. So these kind of things can tend to work themselves out too. So I think for me, I think it's more of a wait and see kind of approach to see what happens with this. I don't think you necessarily panic yet, and like I said, I think some of this was to be expected. So
It's rumored too that the NCAA is up there working West Virginia. I'm not sure if that's true or not. I know most of you guys are jumping on social media too, and this isn't throwing anybody under the bus, but I know a lot of you guys are out there saying, well, I think Caridi said something on his Sportsline show. I don't listen to it, but apparently he was saying something about, you know, I wouldn't panic, which, you know, I can agree with, but you know, let's remember Caridi is also under, he's getting paid by certain individuals that, you know, he can't go on there and say anything per se. And plus, I think a lot of media people, unless it's confirmed, if you're a legitimate media member, you're also not going to be saying right. anything that, you know, to throw anybody under the bus unless it's confirmed. And it's not throwing anybody under the bus. It's just, you know, as a writer, Ryan, that you're not going to put anything in your article sure. unless it's true and you have a valuable source. And it, and the university, most people wait for universities or somebody to come out and make a statement first. Then you make basically your opinion, because, as you know, I've been there's been times where I'll put things out and I'm like, and then somebody comes back and goes, and then I'm like, well, I got to delete that.
Yeah.
But That's happened multiple times, but just don't right now. I wouldn't even listen to, you know, and I'm not saying Creedy said anything as far as like, this isn't true or whatever, but I know a lot of you guys were, in the Facebook groups and stuff saying, well, if Creedy said this, then it's gotta be, that's not necessarily true either, because you know, there's people that Creedy works for that he can't necessarily go on his sports line show and start throwing people under the bus. So this is really just a wait and see situation as far as, you know, is this misconduct? Was there stuff going on behind the scenes? Will this eventually follow Holgorsen if they find stuff that's really, really bad? You know, there's some things there that I think a lot of people aren't necessarily sure about, and nothing's been confirmed. So the only thing we can do at this point is just wait and see what happens. But we hope this is a situation where, as we just talked about, where Neil Brown, you know, saw the writing on the wall for these guys and said, hey, you guys either buy in and do the right things, or you guys just need to find another place to play. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a long, interesting summer for sure. It gives you plenty to talk about.
It does. At least. Yeah. You know, in these dog days of summer and talk radio, you know. All right.
Since you refuse to talk NASCAR.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. You keep coming on here and trying to get me to talk NASCAR.
I'm missing a big part of your fan base here. Just saying.
Maybe we can start doing that. We talked about that before, of you doing a NASCAR segment.
Yeah. Once a week. I'm in.
You would do it.
I would do it.
If you commit to it, we'll do it. You got to tell me a day that's the best to put. I guess Fridays, right? Because races are on the weekends.
Yeah,
that would probably Fridays would be the best. Yeah. All right. So let's move past this. North South football Saturday, Ryan.
Yep.
12:06. Right. It's gonna be locally televised, which is pretty cool, on TV8, Fox 11, and the big story here you guys kind of pointed out from your guy Rick Ryan is Tim McCutchen, the Hurricane. Hurricane kicker,
yeah,
which
really talented kid,
which is they said was a big difference. Special teams, a big difference. What, in last year's?
Mm-hmm. Hurricanes always solid there. If you look at their past 10 to 15 years, Winfield too. You know, Cabell Midland. They had the Molinas.
Is the soccer connection? Is that what's going on over there? Is that why?
I don't know. You know, it's a good question. I think the Molinas played soccer. I'm not sure about Tim though. I can't remember him playing over there, but.
I just kind of threw it out there.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good idea, though. I could see it.
McCutchen last fall connected on 7 or 8 field goals. By the way, 42 and 44 was one of those, which is great distance for a high school kicker.
Sure.
26 to 20 extra points. One was blocked. He also averaged 40 yards a punt, which, again, very solid for a high school kicker.
Really good, yeah.
None blocked. 12 of his kicks being down inside the opponent's 20-yard line. Also impressive. And on kickoffs, he averaged about 57 yards. So.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad at all. And as a junior, though, he was a perfect 40 of 40, extra points, 8 of 14 field goals, long of 40. None of his 48 punts were blocked.
You know, the kicker position in high school football is very overlooked, but if you have a good one, like Hurricane did, it is a huge advantage. And we've seen it time and time again in high school football. So, yeah, he was a big difference for them.
Tim will be on the show. He's headed to UC, by the way. What is it? He's what, this year, isn't it? No, what is he, a senior this year?
Everyone in that game is a senior.
So yeah, that's right. Duh. So he's headed to UC this upcoming fall, and we're gonna have Tim on the show tomorrow.
Cool.
So Tim's gonna join us and talk before that game on Saturday. So excited! I love talking to kickers because they got a great personality too. They're like the guy. They just joke around, right? And a lot of the teammates don't really care much for them because they're over there just, you know, messing around, and everybody else has to take everything, you know. Yeah. I guess. Too serious because coach is yelling at them and they're just over there practicing.
Usually a little bit flaky.
Yeah, they're just over there. Yeah, I'm just going to kick my ball over here and I'm good. All right. I mentioned this. Maisie and the baseball program taking it back there. Record 8 Mountaineers selected in that Major League Baseball draft, including Alec Manoah as the 11th overall pick to the Blue Jays. A lot of people were speculating, as far as experts are predicting, that that he would go to the Blue Jays, the 11th pick, and it was true. He, your thoughts on these Mountaineers? I mean, a lot of them will probably come back, but again, we kind of point out that, you know, Pudge, by the way, Ivan Gonzalez, the catcher, was, I believe, the eighth round, with the White Sox.
Yep.
And he's a senior, so we'll be interested to see what happens there. But, I mean, you know, Alvin was a junior, but he's off. I mean, when you're a top pick like that, you're off the play. But these other guys kind of drafted, you know, later on, like a Brandon White. Guys like that, Nick Snyder, who's a midweek pitcher, who did well in the midweek.
Yeah.
And was asked a lot in that first game against Fordham to come out and start. And you get about a good 4 or 5 innings on a guy like Nick Snyder. He's going to get better as the stamina gets better. But, you know, you know, those guys, they get to see where they're at. It's also good for the program because recruiting standpoint, you got a first-round guy in Alec Manoah. I mean, the baseball program's in great shape.
Yeah, that might be the most talked about thing with that program is the exposure they got this year. Not only does that help draft status of players, but it helps recruiting a lot as well. I feel like, you know, WVU baseball kind of put itself on the map this year. But, you know, you mentioned Alec Manoa there. Boy, that guy got paid.
Yeah.
Did you see the salary slot for him?
I didn't see the salary, but I know he's going to get a couple million, right?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere closer to four.
Yeah.
Which, that's not a bad payday.
Not too shabby.
But he's a great player. He's going to be in the show real soon if injury, you know, if he can avoid the old injury bug, I think he's got a pretty bright future in that game there.
I've said this over and over, but what's impressive about Alec Manoa, I've had him on the show a couple times, is the fact he's a humble kid. He's a guy that's always smiling. He loves his mom and his brother. And anytime you ask him why he is as successful as he is, it's because of his family, because they pushed him, which is something you always want to have, because that's contagious to a team.
Sure.
To have a guy that can walk around and smile and be positive and lift his teammates up. And that's something you can't put on paper,
right,
is to have that type of contagious personality. So despite the fact that his ability, and plus the fact that he improves so fast stamina-wise, which is huge, if you're going to play at that level, the fact that he couldn't even play as many innings as he did last year to make that improvement and on his fastball and his slider was just impressive as well. In a year's time, to be able to do that and have four different pitches to throw at somebody is solid.
Yeah, and you don't find 100-mile-an-hour throwing kids just every day. If you look at him physically and the stuff that he is definitely a major league star in the making if he can stay healthy.
Last piece of news, Ryan, we got to move along here, and I'll get to NBA Finals, I promise, because I want to mention the Warriors' backs against the wall right now in the NBA Finals.
But that's what you think.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. The official edition, there were some rumors, it was speculated that they were going after Jarrett Daigie, who's a kid, 6'2", 200-pound junior quarterback out of Lubbock, Texas. Played there at Bowling Green. He'll have 3 years. It's official now. He'll have 3 years remaining to play his final two seasons, starting all 12 games at quarterback his sophomore year last year. First quarterback to start every game for the Falcons since Matt Johnson in 2015. Also, he was the first true freshman quarterback to start a game since 1982.
Wow.
So, you know, not a bad
No.
And the thing that tells me this, though, is there's two things that jump out when you add in a quarterback when you already have a room full of quarterbacks. Well, you don't have a room full, but you have Allison and Austin Kendall and Trey Lowe. But it tells me, one, coach isn't necessarily that excited about his quarterbacks right now. And two, it's not like this kid's going to come in and take anybody's job. I think it's just to make everybody else perk up and get their crap together.
You can
so
never have too much depth there either.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's... especially if you can add a kid that's had that kind of playing experience and that kind of success, I think you're going to take that all day, every day. So
there you go. Another quarterback for the Mountaineers. Again, this offseason kind of very interesting for fans watching these moves, transfer portal, but we'll get our answers and we just wait and see. And it's fun anyway. Don't take away from the excitement of a new coaching staff and what Neil Brown can potentially do there, because he did great things at Troy. So I can only imagine, you know, we'll see what he can do there in West Virginia.
I think this is one of the most exciting off seasons that WVU fans have had for a long time, just in terms of waiting to see what happens with this whole thing and getting Neil Brown. I think it's a very good time to be a Mountaineer fan.
All right, we're going to take a break. We get to our second segment. We're going to talk some softball with Ryan, because that's what he's been doing for weeks and weeks and months and seems like years.
Yeah.
So we'll talk some softball, all state teams being announced there from the Gazette. So we'll get Ryan's take on what happened there in each class, the champions, and some great moments. We'll kind of ask you some moments that kind of stand out to you, Ryan, and just kind of wrap up the softball season. And you know, before you know it, Ryan, you're gonna be right back in the grind with football too.
Yep, we're already in the 3-week practice period. Putnam County starts Monday, so it's like we never left.
There you go. All right, we'll take a break. You can call our Texas show at 304-405-6301 or 344-9704. This is the Brandon Lowe Show. We'll be back after this.